from Baldoyle to Beaumont.
Community radio for Northeast Dublin, 90.3 Near FM.
I want to welcome into the studio now Mary Gagan and Sarah Butler from Durrisbury. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, morning. John.
We're going to talk about there's an ESRI report that shows that due to changes to rules and regulations regards payments, that employment is now less attractive to lone parents. But as usual, will you just give us a quick introduction to Durrisbury, what it's all about?
Well, Durrisbury is a lone parents resource centre, and we also have an early years service, and we're here in the area for 32 years now, and we provide a wide range of services in the resource side of the building, which I'm working in and which Sarah is actually working in, and that includes adult counselling, child counselling, information and support, and our team parent support programme. But Sarah will be telling you about information and support in a few minutes.
So, Sarah, you're new now, are you?
This is, I am, yeah. I'm there 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Very new, yeah.
Well, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks
very,
for having
very,
me.
Very brave. Just tell us about your role.
So I'm the information support officer. I work with lone parents. I provide them with information and maybe refer them on to appropriate services or advocate on their behalf if they need some support around issues they may be having. I make sure that we have a record of statistics and stuff for our funders and input all the information on databases. I also work very closely with Mary to identify clients for groups, for people that we might have in working in our groups or programs. And then I work as part of the team to plan, organise and evaluate the programs that we put on.
So you're kept busy.
I'm non-stop. Yeah.
It sounds like you'd be non-stop.
Yeah.
And there's loads of services that you provide, and there's classes that you do, and there's coffee mornings.
Yes.
Just tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that you do.
I'll tell you a bit about the programmes, and Sarah might tell you about the coffee morning, if that's okay, Sarah.
Yeah.
So during the year, we run programmes based really on the school term. So we have January to Easter, and then we have Easter to summer, and then September to December. And during those times, we run at least three courses in the morning. So that'll be Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, usually. And then we would have a course on a Wednesday as well, Wednesday evening. So at least 30 weeks of the year, we would have those courses running for people. The courses range from things like skills development. So that might be parenting skills development, for an example. Or it could be things like creative skills development either. So we do oil painting and art and various creative things. So that's one type of thing we do. The other type of thing we do is personal development. So say, for instance, this year we would have had things like building self-esteem and confidence would have been one of the courses we ran. And then we would look at communications and relationships. And we also then looked at the thing of building resilience for people, so bouncing back when things go wrong. So that would be another thing we do. So that's two parts of the courses. And then the last part of the courses would be looking at employment, activation and training and support. So getting people really ready for the workforce.
For getting back into the workforce. And we're going to talk about that's not easy anymore.
No, later, absolutely
bit,
not.
A bit later on.
Yes.
And the coffee morning, Sarah, can anybody just drop into these coffee mornings?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we have it every Friday from 10 to 12. At the moment, we've closed it for the summer. But yeah, starting back in September, we are hoping to revamp it and call it maybe a community cafe to make it more open. We're hoping to advertise it a bit wider around the area so that more people might be encouraged to come. And we are hoping to have some guest speakers in, maybe from MABS and Family and Law Mediation and other services in the area, and then maybe some creative days as well. So we'll do arts and crafts and...
Yeah, it's a lone parents organisation, Durrisbury, but is it mostly women that attend?
It is, yeah.
Would you rather see more men coming into the coffee morning?
I'd love to see more men coming in, absolutely, yeah.
We're not great at coming out and talking and showing our emotions.
No.
So we're going to talk again about trying to get back into employment. You mentioned there.
Yes.
And, I repeat myself every time we talk. The cost of childcare in this country is one of the highest in Europe. Is that still the case?
Yes, it's very, very high compared to person's salary. And if you think of an actual lone parent trying to get back to work, childcare is one of the biggest financial costs in relation to that. Yeah. So without a doubt. But I mean, across the board for anybody, whether they're a lone parent or not, childcare is, as people say, like another mortgage. Yeah. For them. Now, there have been a few changes, and I think we mentioned this before at one of the other times that we met. There have been changes from the point of childcare provision across the country, and it has reduced the cost of childcare for some people. Like, say, for instance, where we have an early year service. If you are a lone parent, you can have very reasonable rates from the point of view of, you know, if you're working full time. So the rates would be very, very reasonable. But there are issues about waiting lists. It's not easy to access a community creche because we are a community creche. Mm-hmm. And most of the childcare provision is through private creches still. So again, the costings can be completely variable. But say, for instance, if I was trying to get employment, I was at home, lone parent, trying to get employment, it might be very difficult to get childcare when I need it, because you could be on a waiting list for 6 months, a year, maybe 2 years, and during that time your employment opportunities will be gone.
Yeah. No, it's very, very hard. And years and years ago, I know there was a sort of a stigma about lone parents, particularly women, you know, mammies, and the horrible things being bandied around about it. And is that still the case? Because the whole lone parenting has changed. Now, we mentioned there's men lone parents out there as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
And you don't start off as a lone parent in some cases.
No. Well, I mean, I suppose, let's be realistic, most people do not choose to be a lone parent.
Yeah.
It's something that doesn't happen by choice. So very often people find themselves that they're in a situation where they're parenting alone. I suppose what you're asking me, is there still a stigma in relation to being a lone parent? Well, my feeling is that there is. And I suppose I'd say for two reasons. This is kind of just based on research.
Yeah.
Reason number one is, the truth of it is, if you're a lone parent, you're more likely to be living in consistent poverty. So about a quarter of lone parents are living in consistent poverty. And then up to 50%, actually over 50% of lone parents are experiencing deprivation. So in other words, that they're not able to engage fully in society like everyone else. So, I mean, that by itself creates a stigma in itself, in that, you know, you're not having an equal opportunity as other people, you know. But then another issue that's really big issue is the whole thing of the housing situation and homelessness. And the truth is that 60% of families that are homeless at the moment are headed up by a mother. So a lone parent, a lone parent family headed up by a mother. And that's a huge number of people, children that are living in, basically they're homeless at the moment, and they're growing up in a lone parent family. Well, headed up by a mother. But that's a huge number. So again, that, like, you know, you're experiencing poverty, you're experiencing homelessness, and, you know, that's not really
the
situation.
The figures that you're talking about there now, they're based on research that was on a report that was issued. I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And it's not just off the top of somebody said, this is fact.
These are facts.
About.
These are facts, yes. The bit I mentioned about the poverty, that was mentioned again in this ESRI report that you mentioned earlier on, John, there. I think it came out on the 5th of July. It's very, very recent statistics about that. So the thing about, like, roughly one quarter of lone parents are living in consistent poverty. The thing about the homelessness, this is a very recent report as well. It's the Human Rights Commission, I think, did it. And they did a bit of an investigation in relation to homelessness. So again, this is current research. This is up-to-date research. So that's the reality.
Yeah, today. There's another issue as well. I interview FLACT, Free Legal Aid Centres, a lot, and we discussed women getting away from domestic abuse situations.
Yes.
They're lone parents.
Yes.
And they have to leave the home, the family home, to get away from this abuse, which is disgraceful.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And they can't be classed as homeless because they're. You actually have a home.
That's correct.
Is that still the same?
Yes, it is. There's no change in that. So in other words, like, a woman who's experiencing domestic violence might have to, because of her safety plan or risk assessment, you know, she is either advised or supported in leaving, because that's the only option for the safety of her children and for herself. And if that's the case and she leaves the family home, she is in a situation where she does have a home, but yet she's homeless, technically. So what are her options? Basically, to go to one of the resource centres for domestic violence, and there's a few of them in the area here.
Yeah.
So that is the case, yeah.
And that's still going on.
Yes.
It's disgraceful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, this ESRI report, yes. Sarah, I don't know whether you want to comment on this. It shows that due to changes in payments, and I think we spoke about it going back a year maybe.
Yes.
It was the last government, was it the Fine Gael Labour government, who brought in changes to the payments.
That's right, yeah, absolutely.
And now the situation is that employment is less attractive.
Yes, it is. But it's actually interesting. When you were mentioning we were going to be chatting today, I was doing a little bit of research about it. And I have a report here it was based in 2008, 10 years ago actually. It was conducted by one family and it was looking at employment opportunities for lone parents. And it's interesting, the same issues were coming up then as are coming up now, right? So one of the questions that was asked during that, which I thought was very interesting, was, you know, people who are lone parents who had given up employment for some reason, why did they give up employment? And the first reason was it wasn't financially attractive. So basically they weren't making enough money from the point of view of working outside the home. And that wasn't even taken in factors like childcare or anything else like that, and trying to access childcare. So that was the number one thing that actually cropped up. The second thing is they couldn't get quality childcare. That was 10 years ago. Right, exactly the same still. The third thing was that their contract was up. They might have been on a CE scheme. They might have been made redundant. You know, so the suggestion is there in 2008 that the employment that they had was it was either a government funded employment or was precarious employment or maybe low paid employment. So they'd be the three reasons why a lone parent couldn't continue in employment. And then followed on by things like, it was interesting, ill health was another thing, because they became ill. So again, that brought up another issue. But the issues arising in 2008 appear to be the issues that are here now 10 years later. There's been very little change in that.
In 10 years, in a decade.
In a decade, yes.
You know, and I think that going back to 10 years, that was the situation where lone parents, they couldn't work because of the things. It led to people saying, look, these lone parents, they don't want to work because they didn't know the facts.
Yes.
Behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact is, for a lone parent, they're trying to find employment that first and foremost suits them. So if you have a child and you are a lone parent, you very often, now this is not always the case, but you very often do not have the amount of, say, family and friend support as you might have if you're in a couple. So again, you know, the law of averages would say you might have more support if there are more people involved in the life of the child. So that's one of the things that comes up. So you may not have that support. And you do need it. If you are trying to bring a child to school, once a child gets into school going age, it even becomes more difficult because you need somebody to be able to collect your child if you're not able to do it yourself. And most childcare services do not operate after 6 o'clock. So again, it means options for jobs. Again, if you're working in the retail sector, it's very difficult to ask for a job or to get a job that will be between, say, 9:30 and 1:30 Monday to Friday. It's very, very difficult to do that. So again, you have all those issues about organising it. Issues as well, and again, everybody who's employed does this, but it makes it even more difficult if you're doing it on your own. It does cost to work. It costs to pay for your lunch out, to get transport, those kind of things to get to work. So you need your employment nearby. You need to be able to get really low cost childcare. You need to be able to have a very accommodating employer that will be able to accommodate you. So there's a number of factors that are really, you know, at play when it comes to actually getting involved in employment as a lone parent.
And getting an employer to, like what you just explained, it's not easy because we're looking at... I was only talking to a person from Lloyd's Pharmacy there the other day. We're looking at zero hours contracts and minimum wage and part-time workers. You deal with the clients of Doris Bui, Sarah. What sort of situations would it be coming from? I've often spoken with my wife and my daughters and stuff like that about friends or anything like that who are grown parents. And I can't understand why a man, a dad, could walk away from his family. Do you get a lot of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you said earlier, like a lot of my lone parents that come in are women. I haven't actually met with one man since I started 6 weeks ago. And a lot of them have either left due to violence or due to manipulation or whatever, needs to leave for their own safety and the safety of their kids, or the husband's partner just walked away as soon as the child was born, just decided they didn't want the responsibility and maybe took a couple of years out and then turned up or is involved but very sporadic. Like there's no law that says they need to provide a certain amount of maintenance, so a lot of men that are providing maintenance is a very, very low amount that wouldn't really cover very much in terms of clothing, children, getting them to school, books, everything, rent, everything. Like they really, it is really a single parent. When they are lone parents, they really are doing it all on their own. I find with the women that are coming into me, there isn't very many men that are providing financial support, even never mind emotional support or childcare, or willing to participate in raising the children, or there's no involvement at all, or so it appears to me anyway.
Yeah. So there's no legislation there to say a man has to provide for the upkeep of his child?
No, there's no minimum amount, no. And even if you go to courts, it's a very small amount that they would enforce the partner to pay. There's no. Like when you consider rent and everything else that's involved, feeding the child, dressing the child and yourself and everything, like having them in activities, even letting them to go play basketball the weekends or swimming club or football, or like that all costs extra money as well, that they can't provide that for their children because there is no support there.
And schooling, free education is very expensive in this country.
Yeah.
You know, and that's mad. There's no legislation to say that a man has to provide for his child.
Yeah.
We're not a great country for women's rights, are we really, when you think about it?
No, not at all.
Recent. Right, listen, you were nervous when you just came in. And you said, we're worried about how long it's had to be going on. We've been talking now for about 20 minutes.
Oh,
not too bad.
So now, this ESRI report and what we've discussed, the whole, and Sarah, what you've just told me, can you talk to politicians? Is there anything that can be done?
Well, John, you're doing a good piece of work here because you're raising awareness about it, because it really does need to be out in the open that this is the situation for lone parents in the country. And again, even just listening to the radio in general, there can be an awful lot of, well, I suppose what I'd call hate talk. Maybe that's a bit of an extreme way of describing it, about lone parents or, you know, ripping the state off or whatever.
Yes,
but the reality is that is not the reality. So I suppose first and foremost, what you're doing today is it's raising awareness. People get an understanding of what it's actually really like for lone parents. So that's really important. But also, we work at providing supports for lone parents, you know, from the point of view, say, of, you know, getting them involved in training, you know, even training around personal development and building up confidence. So as when the lone parent is in a situation, again, where their child is really between the age of 7 and 14, which is very, very young, where they need to be engaged in activation services, that we are preparing lone parents that they're getting ready to actually get involved in that whole employment side of things and seeking employment. Because that age between 7 and 14, a lone parent, generally speaking, has to give evidence that they're working towards getting employment. And that was one of the big changes as well that was made by the previous government. It was a case that a person could get lone parents' allowance until their child was 18 or 22 if they were in education. And then it was changed down to 7. And then it was brought up to actual 14 then after that. So we provide supports for lone parents who are interested in doing various different programs, getting them ready for employment.
Yeah,
and we're also doing a lot more on careers as well in the last year.
And I think we've made the point before that you can become a lone parent after your child is 7 years old. That's crazy.
Yes, exactly.
Sam, you spoke about self-confidence, one of the courses about self-confidence. Sarah, but you talked about the people coming into you. Yeah. Do you find that their self-confidence is low?
Absolutely. Yeah, whether it's from being in a bad relationship with an ex-partner or it's... I find actually a lot of the women that come into me are quite isolated. They don't have family support. They may have moved out of the area. They may have become homeless in another area and had to move to this area, or they just don't seem to have a lot of family support or friends. They seem to be quite isolated. It's just them and their child. And that is a massive issue, yeah. So they are affected, their self-confidence, their self-worth, their self-esteem, everything is just very, very low. So I think it is a great programme that we run to try and build that back up so that they have the confidence to go in for interviews and have the confidence to go and work in an environment where they're meeting other people and hopefully build relationships with other people.
Yeah, even being unemployed for a long period of time can ruin your self-confidence.
And and that's for anyone. Yeah, never mind anyone, being a lone parent with children to look after and, you know.
Yeah, but trying to look after children and not having an income makes it much harder. Yeah. But now, listen, as I said, we're gone over our time. So if anybody's out there listening and they want to make contact with Doris B., can people contact you direct, or is it a referral sort of programme? Or?
Well, people can contact us in a few different ways. First of all, they can call in between 9:30 and 4:30, Monday to Friday. They can just drop in. They can also call, and the number is 8484811, or they can email us to arrange to make an appointment, and our best email address is info@dorisbuie.ie.
And join us on Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't be up to scratching all the Facebook and Twitter and all this, you know.
We're not on Twitter now, I'm not that good, but definitely Facebook. Facebook. And then send us a message on Facebook.
Yeah, because I say there are people out there listening, they're saying, I know you as well, but I've said it's people out there who don't know you're there, don't know there's help there.
Absolutely.
Listen, Mary and Sarah, thank you very much for dropping in.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Weekday mornings from 11. This is Northside Today.